Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to join me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled The End Time Gideon Ban, knowing that the scriptures of the Old Testament were given as an example to us. God's dealings with mankind are very similar. The very nature of God does not change, and so we can learn from the examples of Scripture. And I believe at this hour in time in which we are living, very critical, very crucial times, even though some of you may be up in years and feel that your years of real usefulness and production are over, that's not true, beloved. God is going to use the young people. He's going to use those advanced in years. Remember, Moses' ministry did not begin until he was 80 years old. God deals with faithful, yielded vessels. And I believe in the times in which we're living, every one of us has been placed by the Lord. In recent years, I believe God has been positioning His people, and it says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So you have to trust, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, that your immediate circumstances are where He has you right now. That doesn't mean a month from now, a year from now, if you know the Lord tarries, that you're going to be in your present circumstances, but He has given you giftings, He's given you challenges that as you press through and seek the Lord, as you deal in a godly way with the challenges and the battles that come your way, you are being prepared, you are being equipped, you are able to exhibit perseverance and endurance to be able to stand, having done all to stand. That's what Ephesians tells us, once we've put on the full armor of God. And know that the part that you have to play is extremely important. You might say, well, Sister Glass, I'm up in years and I've got physical disabilities. All I can do is pray. All I can do, beloved, that's the most important ministry there is, that of prayer. In fact, that's the ministry that Jesus is engaged in right now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's waiting for the Father's timing and His instruction to when He can return and gather His church. But right now, He's ever living to make intercession for the saints. He's praying for you and I. And so, beloved, that is the highest calling that there is, that of prayer, to be able to be used of God. I don't profess to understand all the dynamics of prayer. I doubt that there is anyone who fully understands its importance to God. Even though God knows everything, He knows the future, He knows the past, there's nothing that's hid from His eyes, and yet He desires and requires that we interact with Him. Even as God spoke to David, and He said He was going to cause the line of David to continue, that the Messiah was going to come from his line, yet David actually interceded and prayed the very things that God told him He was going to do. Beloved, we have that high calling. And so let us now look again at the life of Gideon. We were in the sixth chapter, and God commissioned him to go and deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And so there was a time of preparation before he engaged in battle. He had to recognize spiritual truth. Even though he felt himself insignificant, God reminded him that He was the same God that performed mighty miracles for his forefathers. Just as He was with them, He would be with Gideon. And of course, he had to respond to God, the same thing we have to do. What was the first thing he did? As we read verses 25 through 32 in that chapter, he pulled down the altar altar of Baal, which for us represents every false thing, as 2 Corinthians reminds us in the 10th chapter, verses 4 and 5, to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Every God-usurping idol around and within us must be overturned and dethroned. And as I shared on yesterday's broadcast, the last idol to go is the idol of self, our self-will, our self-desires, that we can come to a place to be fully surrendered and consecrated to God, dedicated to the Lord for His service. Praise God, there is no higher calling. And the flesh doesn't want to do that. The flesh wants to indulge itself. But beloved, as Jesus said, no man forsakes father, mother, homes, possessions for my sake, that he would not be rewarded 100-fold in this life and to be rewarded with our eternal life. Beloved, there's nothing we give up for the Lord that we can will not be richly rewarded. There is no, I delight to do thy will. The psalmist said, thy law is within my heart. There becomes a great delight in serving God. So what did Gideon do, as we must do? Pull down the altar of Baal in our life. And then there's a building up. Verse 26, what does it say? God said, build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of the rock in the ordered place and sacrifice. He had him sacrifice a bullock. But beloved, we must build an altar on the altar of our hearts, if you will. There, the true God must be enthroned in worship. He told Jeremiah in the first chapter, verse 10, when he called him, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant, the work of the prophet. And so, beloved, what are the examples, the lessons we can learn from this? That we're in this stage now. We're being prepared. We're being purified. That's what God was doing. He was purifying Israel before the enemy was engaged. And we will see this as we go on in these chapters, how God called, once the rallying call was sent out to rally all of Israel, there was a further process where a remnant was pulled out of the thousands of Israel. And we're going to go on to that into subsequent broadcasts. But what do we see? There was a purifying of Gideon's own heart. And then we see that Gideon responds to the call of the Lord. There's a personal work that has to be done before corporate engagement. We see Gideon's leadership was proven. There, his boldness, he was beginning to obey God, even though he was afraid to do it in daytime because of his father's house. His own father was a Baal worshiper. He was afraid of the men of the city, so he did it at night. He took 10 of his father's servants, but he was obeying God. And so at least one village of Baal worship was dealt with, and the priorities were established, as well as raising him to prominence. Even his father said, you know, they called him to bring out his son, that they would, you know, kill him because of what he did. And he said, if Baal's such a big god, let Baal respond, because he was, you know, one has thrown down his altar. So, beloved, there is a purifying of our hearts. There's a responding to leadership. And then we see there is a call to faith-filled action. And let me share those verses with you, verses 33 through 40 in the sixth chapter. Verse 33 says, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. Beloved, the trumpet is the sound of the prophetic, the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. And Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all of Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messages unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece in a bowl of full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, and it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. How merciful, how gracious is the Lord. He called the army of Israel, and what we see happened was, of course, the enemies of Israel were gathering. The moment of truth was coming. They were gathered as sheaves to the threshing floor. And Micah, the 4th chapter, verses 12 and 13 says, Arise and thresh. Hear the word of the Lord, beloved, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in many pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. And then, beloved, once we are determined to fulfill our personal destiny, our place in the body of Christ, we need to wait and expect the anointing. That's what happened in verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. It comes, that anointing comes when we start moving out in faith. There's a beautiful passage in Joel, the 2nd chapter, verse 1, Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand. Beloved, those are words for us today. Are you willing to move out in faith? Are you willing to say yes to the Lord? Beloved, if we will do that, we will see God move in our lives, in the lives of our family, our loved ones, our friends. We will see a move of God in this nation. I refuse to give up in hopelessness and in helplessness. We can see God move, and we can see God respond to the faith of his people. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Beloved, I'm standing on that for you, for me, for the body of Christ, for this nation. In the name of Jesus, praise God. Well, we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information. If you have prayer needs, won't you write? I would love to hear from you. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,